at the Operation Christmas Child table that you set up. She's Debbie and her husband are fairly new to our church, and she's a regional director for Operation Christmas Child, and so she's got her hands full beyond this church in terms of collecting the boxes and the many, many boxes that make a big difference. Really cool to be a part of that. Religion versus Christianity. The difference is Jesus. Many of you know that. Many of you know that. Some of you are going, what do you mean by that? That's a fair question. Today, originally, I was going to pick up on the Jesus-centered streaming message, as I referred to it before, that we started back in January of this year and then came back to on a Sunday in April and then a Sunday in June. And we were moving through the book of Acts, which is the historical record of the launch of the early church. We were noting that Jesus Christ was the central focus, and he still needs to be today. I sent out an email about that this past week to those of you on our ECC family email list and encourage you to dive into the book of Acts with eyes for noticing Jesus. So if you're not on that email list and want to be, you can just write that on your communication card and put it in the box at the information table after if that's something that you'd want. It's a message, this Jesus-centered message, that will continue, hopefully, it weaves in everything we do and every time we speak and share, but it's specifically a message that we'll continue to pick up on in the future on occasional Sundays, but we're taking a quarter turn on that today. A DVD caught my eye this past week, a DVD on my shelf in my office. The title of that DVD is Religion, Why Isn't It Working? The DVD had become, and a little stack of them actually, had become a bit of a fixture on the shelf, untouched probably for a couple of years. And so I watched it, just happened to grab it, and 18-minute DVD, I watched it, and I just felt I need to show that today. We'll watch it together in a couple of minutes. But the straight and simple answer to that question the DVD title asks, religion, why isn't it working, is that religion is actually disconnected from Jesus and from the path that he provided for us to know God for real, to walk with him through life with his wisdom and direction and compassion and all of that he brings into our lives, and to know him forever. Jesus is, as he said in his own words, the way, the truth, and the life. The way to get to know God, the truth. He's truth personified. His quest for truth can take people, it can take people all over the place. Really, the search for truth is in a person, Jesus Christ. And he's the life. Understanding this life, making sense of it, as someone put to me in an email today, or this week rather, and trying to make sense of life. I hope they'll see Jesus. I hope they'll discover the relationship that God offers through Jesus Christ. I've titled this talk, as you see again, Religion versus Christianity. The difference is Jesus. I'm not talking about a superficial identification with Jesus. I'm not talking about some type of shallow connection with Jesus by name only. And there's too much of that, actually. Not to be judgmental, but it's a reality. There's too much of that under the Christian umbrella, which sadly leads to a misrepresentation of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. A misrepresentation of Jesus in our world is all too common. And actually, as a side note, I think the lion's share of what it means to take the Lord's name in vain is exactly that. Oh, it may include using the name of Jesus as a swear word, as we say, but I somehow think it's bigger than that. I think it's speaking that we are identifying with Christ, but our lives don't show it sometimes. So with these thoughts in mind, I want you to watch this video, and then we'll wrap up with a few more thoughts before the worship team comes back to conclude our time together today.
Man, I gotta get out more. Every time I get out into nature, I remember what all I'm missing. I mean, just look at all these colors. Writing my thoughts down helps me to stop and think. I love how the sunlight bursts through the trees. Talk about a religious experience. By the way, what comes to your mind when I say that word, religion? One definition I read defines it as a set of beliefs resulting in worship towards a creator. In the middle of all of this beautiful creation, I've got to admit, it makes me wonder about stuff like this. You know, speaking of religion, religion is bigger than ever. Not that it hasn't always been big. I mean, you look back at our history, and from the Reformation to the Crusades, to even September 11th, religion has always been a part of our history. It's the major driving force of our history. If you're in America like me, you can't get elected into office and politics unless you're religious in some way. Even if you're not, you gotta fake it to make it these days. I mean, whether it's some stem cells research, a debate, or whether it's a jihad war on the TV, or whatever it is, 86% of the people in this world claim that they're religious. That's 86%. That's just about everybody. Week after week, billions of people gather together all over the world in groups of every size to worship. Some meet illegally in an underground church, and some meet in a golden-domed mosque, some in stained glass cathedrals, and some in temples. There's even a growing trend of people who log on the web from the comfort of their living room. So, let me ask you a question. I mean, if the world is so full of people who claim to follow God, why is the world such a messed up place? I mean, you think with all this religion out there, there'd be no poverty, there'd be no war, there'd be no crimes. But we live in a world that's pretty broken down. Last year, we had over 500,000 people who were murdered on this planet. Look at all the violence, all the rape, all the theft. The world is messed up. I mean, think of all the loneliness. Think of all the wives who cry themselves to sleep every night because their husband has been abusive to them. Think of all the children who are runaways, who are forced into prostitution just to survive. Think of the 200 million orphans in the world. Did you know that today, not all week, not all month, not all year, just today, 35,000 people died of starvation in this world? I mean, you think with all this religion, the world would be better. Here's a messed up world, and here's all these people who claim to follow God. It just doesn't add up. Come on, I want to show you something. You know, I grew up kind of religious. I was born in Iran, and so I saw religion through the lens of Islam. We went to the occasional mosque. I learned prayers in Arabic that I would pray. And then in 1979, the Iranian Revolution happened in my country. And I'll never forget, then everything changed. We saw over 1 million people killed under the name of God. It was a crazy time. To me, as a little kid, we were escaping not just from a government, but we're escaping from people that represented God, people that were religious. And when we came here, I thought, this is a free country. And you know what? I'm gonna not have to be religious any longer. Well, I was 18 years old when one afternoon, a buddy of mine invited me to go to church with him. And when he did, you know, I thought, I don't wanna go. I hate religion. I told him all the reasons I didn't wanna go. But he named five girls from our high school. And he told me that they all went to church with him. And I thought, man, if they go there, I want to go visit. So I went for the wrong reason. And when I went there, I saw something that I'd never seen before. I got to tell you, I saw people that weren't really just moral or just good. I saw people that were different, people that had something that I'd never seen before. Well, these Christians had definitely gotten my attention. After that Sunday when I visited their church, the next Monday, they came and visited me at my house. They came over and they started to talk to me about regular life stuff. We talked about the ball game. We talked about what's on TV. But after that, we started to talk about God and we started to talk about spirituality. At first, I told them I was not interested in becoming religious again. But they told me that Christianity wasn't like any other religion in the world. I asked them, what was so different? And you know what they said? Grace. They told me that grace is what makes Christianity different than anything else. One afternoon, I'll never forget, we went to eat, and the waitress, she told us that it was Christmas, and she'd worked this double shift, and she was trying to raise money for Christmas gifts for her kids. Well, as we were leaving the restaurant, we were in the car in the parking lot, and she ran up and stopped the car. She made us roll the window down, and she started to yell at us. She said, stop, you've made a mistake, you've made a mistake. You've given me over $100 in tips, and the bill was just $30. And he looked at her and he said, ma'am, we didn't make a mistake. You know, the bill was 30 bucks, and we just emptied our pockets and gave you everything that we had because we wanted to bless you. We know it's Christmas, we just wanted to bless you. She began to cry. They told her they were gonna come back the next week, and she yelled in my ear. She goes, well, make sure you get my table. And I thought, this is unbelievable. I was crying, she was crying, and I actually yelled out loud. I said, what is wrong with you people? And you know what they said? Grace. And as soon as they said grace, I finally started to get it. It wasn't just a bunch of God talk, it was real. I realized that that's how they were treating me. I knew some of these people from high school. I'd been such a jerk to so many of these people. But you know what? They were treating me exactly the opposite of what I deserved. They were treating me with gracefulness. That's the night when everything started to make sense to me. That's the night that was the beginning of the end. Get a traffic violation? I did once. I remember this police officer wrote me a ticket for going 4 miles over the speeding limit. The entire time he was writing me the ticket, I was thinking, shouldn't he be out there stopping real criminals? I mean, there are bank robbers out there. Shouldn't he be out there stopping them? But the truth is, the bottom line is, I had violated the law. I had broken the law. I was guilty. I was guilty. There was no excuses. See, I think that's how we think about sin. We look at sin and we compartmentalize it. We go, wow, they're just big violators of God's law out there, big sinners out there, people that have murdered somebody, people that have done big things. I'm a good person. I have the occasional slip up, but, you know, I'm different than others. We categorize. But the thing is that a holy and a perfect God sees it differently. Look, there's really only two categories here. There's sinner and there's non-sinner. God is over here and God is sinless. He is perfect. He's righteous. He hates sin. That's what makes him so holy. And then we're over here and we've violated and broken God's commands and his laws. From the Apostle Paul, sinner, to Mother Teresa, sinner, to Jeffrey Dahmer, sinner, to me, most definitely sinner. We've all sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short to the glory of God. Our sin separates us from a holy and a perfect God. There is no in between. As a matter of fact, that's one of the most deceiving sins of all. Self-righteousness. People who believe that they need forgiveness. Religious people who believe that God is holy, but somehow believe that they can achieve salvation by being really good, by being really moral, by checking off a list of do's and don'ts. You know, the problem is that you can go to church every Sunday, but how many Sundays is enough? You can write the big tithe check to help build a new building, but how much money is enough? You can be good, but when is good good enough? You know who Jesus got most stirred up about in all the Bible? The self-righteous, the religious people who try to earn it by doing all the right stuff. Come on, I gotta show you something. You got to see this. Okay, we finally made it. Okay, before I take you in though, I've got to warn you that the reason I'm so excited about this place, the reason I wanted you to come and see this place is because I think this place represents perfectly the very best part of my story. Come on. I know what you're probably thinking. You brought me all the way out here to a graveyard? Yeah, I did. But look, I didn't bring you here to scare you. As a matter of fact, the very opposite. I brought you here to show you why religion doesn't work. But more importantly, to show you what does. Now, it's a weird illustration, I realize, but let's just take James W. Moore here, who's been dead for a long, long time. Let's say I dig him out of the grave and I put a wig on him, put makeup all over him, put brand new clothes on him and just douse him with cologne. What do I have? I have a really cleaned up version of a dead guy. Well, that's religion. Religion is putting the wig of morality and putting the makeup of good behavior on the outside of someone who's still spiritually rotten. See, you and I are rotten. Now, come on, I know you don't want to hear that, but it's true. Greed, pride, discontent, those are just evidences that you and I are rotten on the inside. So if we're spiritually dead, what can we do? We can't do anything. The only one who's going to be able to bring us from death to life is Jesus. A lot of people call him a religious figure, but he's so much more than that. He's God. Jesus lived the sinless life, but yet he died a sinner's death to pay the penalty for our sins. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave to show that he even has power over death. He promises that if we give our whole self to him, he'll forgive us and give us a new life. Now, I know what you might be thinking. I've done all of this. I've heard this. But have you really? I'm not talking about just church attendance or praying a prayer. I'm talking about complete surrender from the inside out. For lack of better terms, he becomes the landlord of this property. Not just a tenant or a handyman who comes in once in a while to fix a few things. No, he becomes the owner. He takes over everything, our money, our possessions, our thoughts, our stuff, our relationships. Has he done that? Has everything else taken a backseat to knowing him, to loving him, to enjoying him forever? the night that I finally understood all this. I knew that even though salvation was a free gift, that if all of this was real and I really gave myself to Him, that everything would be radically different. I knew that my Muslim parents would kick me out of the house. I knew that my old habits, my old reputation, that all of that would be a thing of the past, that there'd be a new me. Life no longer became about doing a bunch of stuff to earn His love. It became about worshiping Him because I already have His love. Death has got to come so that true eternal life can begin. I mean, just look at these leaves turning colors, the orange, the yellow, the brown. They're dying. The death of fall and winter has to happen so that the life of spring can come. See, death can be a beautiful thing when the promise of true life lies on the other side. The Bible talks about a whole new you, the spiritual death of the old self completely. Jesus calls this being born again. We become a new creation, adopted into the eternal family of God. We strip away the arrogance of religion and we fall humbly at the feet of Jesus and we repent. By asking for forgiveness, we come to the end of ourselves, our attempts, our deeds, our pride, all of it. And we say, Jesus, take my life. Make me new. I want this new life to go from the death of fall to the beautiful life of spring.
I never knew death could be so sweet. I never knew surrender could feel so free. And now I'll sing freedom for all of my days. The King of glory rescued me.
Lot of things that jump out at me even watching that DVD again, but one of them is young people, that illustration and the impact of you living your life, and that applies to all of us, but that his experience in a group of young people in a school. Never underestimate the impact of your life on others. There's actually several DVDs, 6 or 7 available at the back. If you are a spiritual seeker trying to connect the dots on this stuff and you want to watch that again, you can take a complimentary copy with you this morning. Just to reiterate, religion is humanity's attempt. It was so clear in the DVD, wasn't it? Man's attempt to get to God through it, adhering to all kinds of religious standards or being good enough or hoping to be good enough, hoping our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds in the end, but never really knowing, as he said, whether you've done enough. What a tragic and unsettled way to go through life. God never intended that. God never intended it to be that way. And yet humans have created these religious systems that bring guilt and bring burdens of that on millions and millions of people. Various world religions, and some for centuries, have even turned Christianity into a religion because they've ripped out the heart of it, namely grace. Christianity without grace is not New Testament Christianity at all. Grace is what makes true Christianity different. And God's grace came to us in, again, a person. God's grace was gifted to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the difference because he opened the door to personal and eternal relationship with God. And actually, Jesus used that phrase, didn't he? He said, I am the door. In John 10, verse 9, I am the door, he said. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Saved from ourselves, saved from the eternal consequences of sin, which is separation from God. This is weighty stuff. Ponder it carefully. And so, what about that crazy illustration in the graveyard on the DVD? Did you know that the Apostle Paul, who under the direction of the Holy Spirit, wrote about half of the New Testament? He used that same imagery numbers of times. And one reference is in a little book called Galatians, written to a group of Christians that were meeting in Galatia. Chapter 2, verse 20, he said this, my old self. Think about that graveyard illustration. He said, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the spiritual death to spiritual life experience that comes to us by the grace of God through what Jesus Christ has done. The only one, again, who can bring us from spiritual death to life is not ourselves, not our family history, not this Christian gene that somehow, no, it's not passed along. It's an individual choice that God has permitted us, allowed us all to have. And that's fantastic. Yeah, that brings the downside of the brokenness we see in the world. But if we didn't have that option, wouldn't the love for God be just that? Robotic and pre-programmed, right? You have a choice this morning. And many of you in this gathering have already made that choice to follow Christ, to surrender your life, to trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross. Some of you, you've heard this before, and you've walked away. For some of you, maybe this is really the first time that the clarity of this message of the New Testament is coming to your heart and ears. I encourage you, consider this carefully. This is eternal stuff. I want you to listen to the grace equation that same writer, Paul, different book, in a little letter called Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Paul says, God saved you by, he's speaking to Christians here, he says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this, he says. It is a gift from God. That word right there is a small word, but a crucial word, because you've heard me say it before, many of you. If it's a gift and you have to work for it, then by definition, it's no longer a gift. Did you just hear what the Bible says about salvation, about forgiveness? Stop working for it. It's interesting, sometimes on the other side of making a commitment to Christ, we somehow still feel this need to earn God's favor. It doesn't work that way. And that's not that we shouldn't do good and represent Christ well. That's not what we're saying. This word gift, though, is crucial. It's a gift, Paul says, from God. And then verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. That's pretty clear. And that's what the gentleman in the DVD was saying. So religion, as we wrap up, religion versus Christianity is illustrated very simply by two very basic words. Some of you have heard this illustration. Some of you have heard me say it, but I want to give it to you again today. Do versus done. And this comes out of the Contagious Christian material that so many years ago, actually John and I taught. So good. So simple. So clear, I feel. So the word do, D-O. Religion is spelled D-O, do. Again, you've heard it this morning. Trying to do enough good things to earn God's forgiveness, to earn an eternal place in heaven, this self-effort track can take on various forms, from trying to be a good moral person, to becoming an active participant in an organized religion, Christian or otherwise. It's true. The problem is we can never know if we've done enough. And actually, the Bible makes it clear that we can never do enough. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fall short of God's glorious ideal. Do. Are you trying to earn salvation? Stop. Because Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. What we could not do for ourselves, Jesus Christ has done. He lived the perfect life. He died on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for the payment for the just penalty of sin. Sin is so terrible. It required a sacrifice. Everything that needed to be done for my sin to be completely dealt with and removed as the hindrance it otherwise is between me and God was done by Christ on the cross. That, my friends, is good news. That's the gospel. It's not enough to simply know this, though, intellectually. For this to become a reality in our lives, this relationship with God through Christ, for this to become our experience daily, we must humble ourselves to receive what Jesus has done for us. And therein lies the problem for some people. But it's your choice. And this morning, I'm offering you the opportunity. God's already offered the opportunity. I'm just helping it become clear in this moment, the opportunity to receive that gift of God's grace, to receive what Jesus has done for you, and in fact, to receive Him as the way, the truth, the life, and invite Him to be the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life. And so begins a relationship with our Creator. And so is deposited the absolute assurance that you will be in heaven for all eternity. You can know. It's not presumptuous or arrogant to know for sure. The Bible says that we can know for sure. Again, not because of anything we've done, but because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Will you receive God's grace, God's gift of grace in Christ today? Some of you maybe have never done that. And today could be your opportunity. It would be phenomenal if today was the day where you stepped across that line of faith to place your trust and place your very life into the hands of the one who loves you most, knows the end from the beginning, and wants to walk with you in this life that sometimes can be very challenging, and wants to give you that assurance that you will be with Him forever in heaven. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads. I want to give you an opportunity. And worship team, you can come at this time. If you're at that place of saying, Marlo, I today want to step into this relationship with God through Christ. I want to express trust in Him. I want to surrender my life to Him. I want to be the recipient of this gift of grace that I'm hearing about this morning through Jesus Christ. If that's your desire, I invite you in this moment to just put your hand up and look my way. Catch my eye. And I won't call you out or anything, but I'd love to pray with you. And looking my way and raising your hand is just a bit of a seal to say, yes, this is where I'm at. Thank you. To my left, thank you. Thank you. To my left, thank you, ma'am at the back. Thank you. Awesome. In the middle. So cool. So exciting. Greatest, most impacting decision you will ever make is that decision right there, because it has eternal consequences. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the angels in heaven right now are rejoicing. They're having a party because you just stepped across the line of faith and expressed that to God. It's not so much, you're telling me, but it's not about that. It's about you and God right now. So is there anybody else this morning? Thank you, sir. Awesome. Way to go. So exciting. Heavenly Father, right now, for the gift of your grace in Jesus. And in this moment, I thank you for those who have expressed outwardly what's going on inside. They've expressed outwardly, most of all, to you. And they're speaking now to you, God. And do that, friends. Start in your own heart to tell God that you want to follow him. Express to him your desire to know him every day and to surrender to him, to turn from your old life, to turn from sin and turn to Jesus, whose future and plan and redemption and forgiveness are there for you and deposited in your heart in this instant. In your hearts, it's not about these words, but you can pray, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to step in for me to take the payment, the penalty of sin upon himself. I thank you now that I can go free, and I do so for eternity as I now express trust and surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Forgive me of my sin, Lord. Begin to lead my life. Help me to grow in this new relationship with you. Give you thanks in Jesus' name. Those of you that raised your hand, I'd love to dialogue with you. There's also a little magazine at the front you can pick up after called Knowing Jesus Personally, and it has some good information in there that'll help you. And look forward to the journey together. Ask the worship team to come and just lead in a couple of songs as we reflect on the goodness of Jesus together.
All the earth, it's all the earth.